learn sugis and halacha. It truly, I think, is my favorite thing in the world, is to learn different inyanim and halacha, to try to learn through the sugi and the sugis and the gemara, to learn through the rishonim, and to get to the final psak din shulchan aruch. And I want to talk about different things that are very much nageya, that apply to us in our daily lives, but to understand them properly. And as I said, it's going to be, you know, to start giving out photostats for everything is a little bit difficult. So I'm going to, Mitzvah Hashem, in the future, I'm going to have the Marmakamis photostat, so that on Shabbos we'll be able to, everybody will be able to have those Marmakamis, and this way be able to look them up. And then when we'll learn the Indian together, it'll be easier. We'll be able to go through it quicker. And I'd like to go through many, many different subjects. Each one should take the erech 2 to 3 weeks to do. The one that we're going to start with, the sugi that we're beginning with, is one that is not often discussed for obvious reasons, and is often misunderstood: the question of the obligation of the halacha to honor one's in-laws, to honor the mechutanim, the mechutin, the mechatenis, to honor the halachas of kibud and of yira as they apply or whether they apply to one's in-laws. But I want to begin the inyan before we start to learn in a minute. We're going to start to learn the Gemara and work our way slowly into this sugya, which is not clearly explained in Shas. It's not clearly discussed in Shas and the Gemara. But we have to try to find our way through the inyan. I want to begin with a question. And the question is, the question is going to be one that we're going to respond to only later on. I don't know if we're going to even begin to get to it tonight. Next week we'll probably begin to get to the answer, to answer the specific question. And you'll understand the Mitzvah Hashem within the next half hour or so why is it that I Davka wanted to lead into the subject with this question. The question is regarding a theoretical case of a woman who marries her father's younger brother, which according to Halach is perfectly permitted. A woman marries her father's younger brother. She marries her uncle. And what happens is that oftentimes in the course of the marriage there's a conflict. On the one hand, we find that her father has certain expectations, and her father, which means the older brother of her husband, her father has commanded her. Her father has expectations as a father, has of a daughter. And oftentimes, in the course of the marriage, the expectations of the father conflict with the expectations of the husband, and we have a clashing of wills that takes place between the woman's father, which was her uncle, and the woman's husband. And the question is, al pi halacha, is she mechuyeves? Is she obligated to honor the rotzen, the will of her father, despite the fact that it conflicts in those specific cases with the ratzon, with the will, and the expectations of her husband? And why is it that I'm presenting the case in such a way of an uncle, of the father's younger brother? This will become clear in a few minutes. But this is the theoretical question, and many times in history it hasn't been just theoretical, but this is the question. Now, to begin to work on this and to see how does this lead us into the subject of honoring one's in-laws, we begin with the Gemara and Kedushin Daf Lamed Omid Beis. For those that have the Gemara, again, even if you don't bring the Gemara to look on with someone, the basic thing that in the future that I'll be giving out on Shabbos, the Ma'ar Mekaymus, is to bring the Gemara, because the Gemara is obviously the hardest thing to start schlepping or to photostat. So the best thing is to bring those Gemaras with you. The Gemara in Kedushin, of course, is a famous Mishnah. The Mishnah is talking about the responsibilities of a father vis-a-vis a child, of a child vis-a-vis a father. And the Mishnah is on Chavtes, and the Mishnah over there says, in the context of discussing those mitzvahs that noshim are paturis, that women are exempt from mitzvahs, of course, that are time-related and so on. So the Mishnah says, Kol mitzvahs ha-ben al-chavtes ha-manalef. The Mishnah says, Kol mitzvahs ha-ben al-ha'ov, anoshim chayovim v'noshim paturis. All mitzvahs of the father regarding his son, so men are obligated and women are exempt. And kol mitzvahs ha'aval ha'bein, on the other hand, all mitzvahs that the son has regarding his father in relationship to his father, so the Mishnah says, regarding those halachas, echad anoshim ve'echad noshim chayavim. that both men and women are obligated. In other words, both the son and the daughter are obligated in those mitzvahs that are required in the relationship between a child and a parent. The father for the child is Pidyon HaBen and Bismillah and so on, but that's not what we're not Isaac, we're not involved in that sugi right now. But the question of the responsibilities of a child vis-a-vis a parent, the Mishnah states clearly that both the son and the daughter, men and women, have the same obligation vis-a-vis a parent. Now what does that mean? So the Gemara is on Lamed Amud Beis. Lamed Amud Beis, if you look, the second wide line, Kol Mitzvah Sa'aval HaBein. The second wide line, Kol Mitzvah Sa'aval HaBein. So the Gemara says, the Gemara is discussing here these obligations of a child vis-a-vis a parent. And the Gemara says, my kol mitzvah ha'avel ha'ben. What is the Mishnah referring to? The mitzvah ha'avel ha'ben. Ilay mekol mitzvah so the mechayev ablam ebed lebrei. If it's referring to the obligations of a father that he must do for his son, for his child, noshim chayavis. What do you mean? Women are obligated. Vatanya. It says in the Braisa, Ha'av Chayev Bibnoi, a father is responsible, only a father, not the mother, is responsible, Bibno, Lamailai, to give him a brismila, Lifdaisa, if he's the firstborn, to redeem him, Aviv in Imailai, only the father and not the mother. So the meaning of that line in the Mishnah cannot be the obligations of a father, of the father vis-a-vis the son, because women are not obligated to give a bris. Women are not to the child, and women are not obligated to redeem the firstborn child. Therefore, the Gemara says, Amar of Yehuda, the correct explanation of this sentence of the Mishnah, meaning the sentence of Kol Mitzvah Sa'aval HaBein, the correct meaning of it is, Amar of Yehuda, Hachi Kamar, this is how you have to learn Pshat. Kol Mitzvah Sa'av, HaMuteles Al HaBein Lasos La'aviv. That's the meaning of the Mishnah. Any obligation of this that is incumbent upon the son to perform for his father. The opposite of what the Gemara first assumed. The first understanding of the Gemara was perhaps it means the obligation of a parent vis-a-vis a child. But there we know that there's a difference between a father and a mother. The mother is not obligated to give a bris to the child. The mother is not obligated to redeem the firstborn child. So the Rav Yehuda says the Mishnah is not speaking about those mitzvahs. The Mishnah is speaking about the mitzvahs of the child vis-a-vis the parent. And here, the Mishnah equates a son and a daughter. So that's what the Gemara says. Again, Omer of Yehuda, Hachi Kamer, Kol Mitzvah Sa'av HaMutelas Al HaBein. It's speaking about the mitzvah that is incumbent upon the child to take care of a parent. Echad Anoshim, Ve'echad Noshim Chayavim. So the Gemara says, as far as the responsibility of a child towards a parent, the son and the daughter are equivalent, are the same. The son and the daughter have the same responsibility. And that's what it means in the Mishnah, Echad Anoshim Ve'echad Noshim. Both men and women are obligated in the mitzvahs regarding their parents. And Tanina Lohad Tanir Rabbanan, the Braisa says, Ish, the Pasuk says, Ish Imay Va'ovi Tiro Ves Chapsoisai Tishmo. The Pasuk says, M'chumish, in Parshas Kedoshim, it says, Ish imova viv tiro. That means that a man must revere his father and his mother. So the Gemara says, Ish ein li eliish. Why does the Pasuk say in Kedoshim, why does it say that a man must revere his parents? It should say what? A man and a woman, since we just learned that the responsibility of a child vis-a-vis a parent, meaning honoring and revering, applies equally to what? To both the son and the daughter. So then the question is, why does it say in the Pasuk, Ish imay va'oviv tiro, why does it say that a man must revere his father and his mother? Ish imay, so the Gemara says, Ish, ein li ela ish, ish aminayin. So how do we know that a woman, how do we know that the daughter also has to revere her parents? Ish aminayin, kishu aimet tiro. It's learned out because it says in the plural. It says in the plural, they shall fear, they shall revere. So it says in the plural, that's referring to both children, the son and the daughter. Harei kan shnai. So now, of course, the Gemara's question is, Imkain, if that's the case, that what? That the halacha of honoring and revering a parent applies equally to a son and to a daughter. So Imkain, ma tam loyme ish. So then why does the Torah say what? Ish imay v'aviv tiro. Why does the Torah say that a man must revere his parents? And only learn it out, tiro. Why does it say ish? In other words, there must be a distinction between a man and a woman regarding the halach of honoring one's parents. So here's the historical response of the Gemara that we're going to be focusing on. The Gemara says, ish sipek biyodo la'asais. That means that a man always has the ability, always has the ability to take care of his parents, to honor and to revere his parents. But isha ein sipek biyodo la'asais. A woman, on the other hand, the daughter does not always have the ability to properly, sufficiently show respect and honor to her parents. What does that mean? Because once she is married, rishus acherim aleha, she is no longer in her father and her mother's domain. She is then in the domain of her husband, right? She's in her husband's domain, as Rashi explains. We look at Rashi. Rishus acherim, Rashi says, baila. Once she is married, she now must be completely faithful to her husband, even in a situation where it would conflict the will of a parent. She is now in her husband's rishus. Therefore, she does not always have the ability to do all that her parents might ask of her, because now, since she is primarily responsible to her husband, she cannot always see to the needs of her parents. Therefore, the Gemara concludes by saying, back in the Gemara, Omer Avidi Bar Oven, Omer Rav, Nizgarsha Shnehem Shavim. That if she is divorced, once she is divorced from that husband, then she returns to her original obligation, which the Mishnah equates. Both the son and the daughter have the same obligation once she's divorced. But as long as she's married, she's under Rishus Baila. Rashi says, Nizgarsha mi Baila. If she's divorced from her husband, Harehi ka'acheha b'mitzvas kibbut, she is once again like her brother. She returns to her original status of being just a daughter.
Her brother was an Eved. And her brother became an Eved.
All right, that's a good question. As far as what, is there anything that could change the status of the brother? Let's put that on hold, because we don't need to get into that right now. There can be a situation where the brother is also restricted for some reason from showing proper kibbutz. Okay, but right now, what we see from the sugya is that there is a halacha that the Gemara understands that in a case where there's a conflict between the rutzen, the will of a parent, and the will of the husband, it's clear from the Gemara, as the Gemara understands the pasuk, Ish imoy va'aviv tiro, why does the Torah specify that a man must revere his parents, even though a woman is also obligated to honor to revere her parents? Because there's a difference, there's a chilek between a man and a woman. And the difference is, once the woman is married, she is under Rishus Baila, she is now in her husband's domain, and her primary responsibility is to see to the needs of the husband. If there is no conflict, obviously, as the Poskim explain, and we will see, if there's no conflict and the parents need her, and it doesn't conflict with the needs of the husband, then certainly she would conform to the will of her parents. Although there is some disagreement about the nature of that mitzvah when she is married. But in a situation where she's divorced, or she's no longer married, then she has the same responsibility as her brother. That's the din that's learned out from the Gemara. And in Shulchan Aruch, in Yeridei, Simen Reish Mem, Sif Yud Zayin. Now, I don't expect everybody to have a Shulchan Aruch, but we're going to be using the Shulchan Aruch for the next couple of weeks with the Mefarshim. So it's important if you could bring the last Chalik of Yeridei that contains in it Simen Reish Mem. Let's see how this halacha appears in Shulchan Aruch. So the halacha taka says, the din in Shulchan Aruch, in Simen Reish Mem, Sif Yud Zayin. So the Mechaber writes, Echad ha'ish ve'echad ha'isha, both a man and a woman, shoven b'kibut u'b'moyrishal of ve'ein, are equal in their obligation to honor and to revere the father and their mother. Ella, however, she'ha'isha ein b'yada la'asais, she does not always have the ability, she doesn't always have the ability to do what her parents might ask of her once she's married. Because she is completely responsible to her husband. Lefichach, therefore, hiptura mikibud of ve'aim ba'aydon nisua. Therefore, as long as she is married, and there's a very strong lashon, the Rambam doesn't quite say this, even though the Shulchan Aruch is based upon the lashon of the Rambam. We'll see, not this week, but next time, that the Shulchan Aruch's lashon here is even stronger than the Rambam's. The Shulchan Aruch writes, as long as she is married, she is exempt from the mitzvah of kibud av v'aim, by the nesua. V'im nisgarsha, if she's divorced, by nis almana, or she becomes a widow, chayeves, then she is restored to her original status as being simply a child, a daughter, and then she's once again obligated in the mitzvah, she's obligated in the mitzvah of kibud av v'aim. Now look, weiter. Yes.
So one question. Is it an issue of if the Baal objects, or is it once she's married, because of the fact that she's married, she doesn't have the same level of kibud at that point?
All right, but that's what we're going to discuss. Is it a matter of the objection of the husband, or does it mean that somehow, as a result of her status of being married, then that somehow she has been removed from the normal category of the mitzvah of kibud av v'aim, of honoring your parent? We're going to see that as we move along. Now, look a little bit further in Shulchan Aruch. There's one line that has caused a great amount of aggravation for many people. Siv Chav Dalet. In Siv Chav Dalet, the Shulchan Aruch says one sentence. Shulchan Aruch writes, Chayiv Odom L'Chabed Chamav. That means that a person is obligated to honor his father-in-law. And as the Poskim explained, he's the mother-in-law as well. In other words, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins here, that one is obligated to honor one's in-laws. So then the question is, the Shulchan Aruch is very brief about this. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't explain. Is this the same obligation as honoring one's parent? Is it different? What is the nature of this obligation? Where does the obligation originate? Where does it come from? We don't see that clearly in Chumash. We don't see it clearly in Shas. So where does this come from? So first of all, let's look at the Shach on the right-hand side, Sif Katan Chav Beis. If we look at the Shach, then we begin to unravel the mystery of this obligation.
Since he's taking away his obligation,
now okay, listen, that's going to play into the whole union. You're right. So Shach writes the following. Chayiv Adam, Kosev HaBach, he brings from the Bach, the Ahaynu Shesomcha B'mixas L'kibud. It's related, he says. It's related to the mitzvah of honoring one's parents. V'chayiv l'chabdai k'may shar zekeinim chashuvim. So the Shach comes along here and says, lest you think that it's the same, that you might think that what? That when the Shulchan Aruch says that you chayiv to honor your father-in-law, your mother-in-law, so you might think it's the same din as what? As honoring a parent. Shach comes along and says very clearly, he says very clearly from the Bach, that this obligation of honoring a father-in-law, of honoring a mother-in-law, it is not the same as honoring one's parents, but it is the same as Shar Zekanan. In other words, they are to be treated no worse than Shar Zekanan, the same way that one is obligated to honor any older Jew, to show honor and respect and reverence towards an older person, Zekanan Chashuvim, let's say an old Talmud Chacham. So the same way is one obligated to honor one's father-in-law, one's mother-in-law. In other words, what the Shach has done, based upon this Bach, is he has basically removed this din, this law of honoring one's father-in-law, one's mother-in-law, from the halachic category of what? Of kibud av v'aim, of honoring one's parents, and he's placed it into the category of honoring zekeinim chashuvim, like honoring an older person, a Talmud Chacham.
So what do you need separate?
So let's see.
So what happens if your father-in-law is younger than you are, which is possible? So then what happens?
Then it would still be based upon the shach. It would seem that the halacha would still be that that because of the status of a father-in-law, or mother-in-law, that he would still have to be treated ke'echad mena chashuvim as a kenim chashuvim.
Even though they're not
right,
kenim,
right,
they're not
right,
younger than
right,
you are.
Right, right, right. Even though they're not chashuvim, even though they're not zekeinim. But that's the din, that they're to be treated like zekeinim chashuv. that's the shach in the name of the Bach. So clearly...
Why did they have to say here that after you get divorced that you have back the...
It seems obvious.
Yeah, it seems like an obvious thing. I mean,
Okay, good question. These are good questions. So let's see if we're gonna try to work this out. A very good point. Now, before we go any further, what is the mocker What is the source of this din? Of honoring, where does this come from? Of honoring a father-in-law, of honoring a mother-in-law. Where does it come from? The Shach doesn't bring it down over here. The Nisa Kailam and Shulchan Aruch don't bring it down. But the Bach himself, on the tour, the Bach does bring down this source. In Medrash, there are two Makaris. There are two sources. One is found in the Medrash Tehillim, in the Medrash Sheikh Atayv, and the other is found in the Alkut Shemaini and Shmuel Beis, which we'll see inside. They're both based upon the same event that took place in Tanakh and a careful reading of a pasuk in Tanakh. Let me just remind you of the Ma'aseh in Shmuel Aleph, Perichov Beis. You recall that David HaMelech was being persecuted by his father-in-law, by Shaul HaMelech. And you remember that David HaMelech had an opportunity when Shaul was in the cave, that David HaMelech had the opportunity to kill his father-in-law. And you remember there that in order to prove his loyalty, his faithfulness, and his love, David HaMelech simply snuck over there and sliced off the corner of the tzitzis, the corner of the knaf, of the garment of his father-in-law, of Shaul HaMelech. So the pasuk over there in Shmuel Aleph reads, Ovi, and it's very, you have to be very careful with this pasuk. David HaMelech is standing there and he's holding, in that very dramatic scene, and afterwards you remember Shaul starts to cry and he says, you're better than I am, and so on. David HaMelech is standing there holding the knaf, the corner of Shaul's coat, of his robe, and David HaMelech calls out and he says, Ovi, my father, Re'ei gam re'ei es knaf mi'ilcha bi'adi. Look, re'ei twice. Re'ei gam re'ei. Look and see that I am holding in my hand the corner of your garment. And so on. I could have killed you and so on. I didn't. V'chul. Right? So in the Medrash, there's a machlokas. There's a difference of opinion. The Medrash says in the Sheikh HaTov, then we're going to read the Alkut Shemani inside. There's a slight difference that's very interesting. But the Medrash Tehillim says the following. Minayin shechayev adam bechvoid chamav kichvoid aviv. Listen, from where do we see that one is obligated to honor his father-in-law as he is obligated to honor his father? And it's the same with a mother-in-law and mother. From where do we see this? Om Reb Yehuda Ovi Re'ei. That David HaMelech was holding the knaf and he says, my father. What kind of father? It's not his father. It's his father-in-law. But he calls him my father. He says, Ovi, my father, Re'ei. So Rabbi Yehuda says, Amar l'Shaul. The first part of that pasuk, when he says those words, Ovi, Re'ei, he was talking to his father-in-law, Rabbi Yehuda says, to Shaul. And he says, father, he calls his father-in-law father. He says, Re'ei, look. And then he says what? Then he said to Shaul, V'gam Re'ei, and also look. So Rabbi Yehuda says, Amar l'Avner. That he said not to Shaul. When he said, and also look, he was talking to Avner. So we see from here that Rabbi Yehuda learns the pshat in the pasuk that David HaMelech has called his father-in-law father. Right? He calls his father-in-law Avi, my father. Rabbanan Amre, the Chachamim over there in the Medrash disagree. The Chachamim say, Avi Re'ei, when he said my father, no, not Hashem, when he said Avi Re'ei, my father, look, he was saying Omer, he was talking to Avner. He was talking to Avner. What is he calling Avner? What's Avner, his father? Why? The Humari Daraisa. Because he was the master of Torah. Avner was the Gadol HaDor in learning. He was his Rebbe. So he called him. That we know that a Rebbe is called a father. That we know. Avi, Avi, Rechim Yisrael Farashar. Right? Like Elisha calls Elio, my father. A Rebbe is called a father. Vishnantam Levanecha is the Talmidim of the students. So the Chachamim learned that when David HaMelech held up the knaf, he held up the garment, he said, Avi, Re'ei. That he was talking to his Rebbe. He was talking to Avner. And then Gam Re'ei, and also you can look, and you also look, who is that? That's Shaul. That he's talking to Shaul. So it comes out that according to the Chachamim, according to the Rabbanim in that Medrash, David never referred to his father-in-law as father. When he said Avi, he was talking about who? He was talking about Avner. And when he said Gam Re'ei, then he was talking about Shaul. So we have here a machlokas between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim of how to learn the pasuk in Shmuel. According to Rav Yehuda, we learn that a father-in-law is referred to as a father. And that is the source of this din. What's fascinating here, and I'm sure you're all thinking, is that since when we have a machloikis between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim, we have a difference of opinion here between the single person, Rav Yehuda, and the Chachamim, and the sages. So why is it that the Hachra, why is it that it's accepted, that there's lahalacha and Shulchan Aruch, it's brought down, and this is the source, this is the source. That Avi, that a father-in-law is called a father, why would we say like the Chachamim, and not like, and why would we say, I'm sorry, like Rabbi Yehuda, not like the Chachamim? In fact, in Minchas Alozer, in the third Chaluk of Minchas Alozer, Simon Lamed Gimel, he discusses that particular problem. Why is it that we rule, or it seems that the Halacha, Shulchan Aruch, accepts the single opinion of Rabbi Yehuda when it's clearly opposed to the reading of the Pasuk that the Chachamim had? That's discussed by the Minchas Alozer, we'll come back to that at the end. But it's fascinating that the halacha is understood, that the halacha is understood in such a way. Now, it's because of this. Hold on a second. It's because of this, and this is the understanding of the Minchas Alozer, is the understanding of the Imre Yosher and other Achronim. It's because of this that the Bach could come along and say, and that's what the Shach brings down, that you shouldn't think that this is mamish a halacha of honoring one's parents. The Bach, the Shach brings the Bach, the same Bach who brings the Makar. The Bach brings this source. Ovi Rei, my father, right? So, and this is the, and from here we have a din to honor one's father-in-law and one's mother-in-law. Nevertheless, the Bach himself says, however, this is not the regular din of Kibbutz. You shouldn't think it's the same thing as honoring one's parents. Why not? Ovi Rei. So it seems that the mere fact that this is not the consensus of the Chachamim, this was not clearly agreed upon by the Chachamim. This was a disagreement among the Tanoim. And the opinion really was of Rabbi Yehuda alone. So immediately we understand, and that's also the understanding of the Gra, in the Bir HaGra over here, that when the Shulchan Aruch comes over here and says that one is Chayiv L'Chabed Ischamav, that a Jew is obligated to honor his father-in-law, so that doesn't mean the same thing as honoring one's parents. It can't be. It can't be. Honoring one's parents is a favorite pasuk in Chumash, not just one pasuk. Kabbalah is a vichu vesimecha, ishi moiv aviv tiro, and so on. It's a favorite pasuk in Chumash to din deraisa. And what do we have as far as honoring a father-in-law and honoring a mother-in-law? We have a hint that's not even agreed upon of David HaMelech calling his father-in-law Avi according to Rabbi Yehuda, which the Chacham didn't agree to. So we see that the poskim are softening the din of the Shulchan Aruch because they're saying sof kol sof. I mean, this can't be the same thing. It can't possibly be the same thing as honoring a parent. And just to prove that, Ali, you want to say it?
No, that was the point.
So just to prove that,
Two things. How did they make the jump from, even if he did say Avi, that means he can't call him Avi in a moment of emotion, or to go from, you say dad, you know, you might call your father like dad, doesn't mean he's your father, doesn't mean he has the same halacha. You know, that's another jump.
It is a jump. Apparently, Rabbi Yehuda took the words of David HaMelech very, very seriously. You're right. Like, you know, we say that. When David HaMelech says something like that, so we learn, you know, piles of halachas from the words of the David HaMelech. You're right. It is a jump. And he made the jump. Because he said that a man like David HaMelech wouldn't stop and say, emotionally, Avi, my father. He doesn't talk that way. He didn't say dad. You know? And if he said Avi, it means that there's an understanding al pidin. That a father-in-law has something of that quality of being a father. But again, the poskim, you're right, the poskim are not so comfortable with that, and that's why they're all holding back. Even though the Shulchan Aruch says this din, the Shach makes it clear from the Bach and others, as we'll see, that it doesn't mean mamish a din, like honoring a parent.
The other issue, the second point of why we paskim like Rabbi Yehuda, might it be related to when you have a choice between a lacha that's going to bring more of respect to people and a nicer way to behave, that they're going to go in that case.
We don't find that's a nice idea, but we don't find a principle governing halacha that which appears to be, to our understanding, to be more ethical or to bring out a finer type of behavior. We don't have any rule in halacha that determines that when we have a machlokas, we rule in accordance to what appears to be the nicer point of view. We don't have such a principle in halacha, so there would be no reason to assume that that's operating in this situation.
Well, what's in more of a jump is that we're learning the kibbutz of Chamav when he cuts Shaul HaMelech's jacket. So, I mean,
right.
Here, we're trying to learn out of that incident kibud, and it's true. I mean, you could say, well, he could have killed him, and he was honoring.
This was to prove his loyalty and his love and his faithfulness to his father-in-law. This was to prove that. It was a very radical thing to do. Right,
but nonetheless, he could have chosen not to cut the jacket at all and said, you know, I had you here. I could have done something.
Okay.
I chose not to do anything.
Okay, that's something that the Mefarshim and Tanakh speak about. And Chazal also regarding why did he want to make him potter from tzitzis. That's a very interesting thing that he cut off the knaf. Nevertheless, we're not allowed to, you know, prove our loyalty by cutting off our fathers-in-law, you know.
what?
I'm sorry?
Isn't it against the king?
You mean that it's a Mered B'Malchus?
Yeah.
Okay, that's also discussed, and that's also discussed in the Mishnah Malchus process. Drachim mentions that. That's also discussed. All right, these are all important points. But we're...
The mice are not necessarily the lush of the mouth.
Yeah, but to prove that the halacha of honoring one's father-in-law is not the exact same din as honoring one's parents, that comes out clearly from the Gemara Psachim Daf Nun Aleph. Now, this is just one line from the Gemara. If you have a chance to take a look in Gemara Psachim Daf Nun Aleph Amud Aleph, the Gemara there says, the Gemara is talking about the halacha. A lot of people don't know this. The Gemara there is speaking about the halacha of a father and a son who go to the merchas together, who go to the mikveh together. And according to halacha, there are certain restrictions regarding with whom one may go to the merchas together with. For different reasons that I don't want to go into. That's the Gemara there in Psachim that has to do with Heruram, with thinking, remembering, where does my wife come from, and so on. It's not important for now. But the point there in the Gemara in Psachim is as follows. The Gemara says, over there in Psachim, Nun Aleph, Nun Aleph, Kol Adam, Im HaKol Adam Reicheitz Chutz, his father-in-law, Baal Imai, meaning his stepfather, Baal Achayisai, his brother-in-law. These are the people who he's not allowed to go to the merchas together with. Which means, I mean, they'll have to go together, but they can't obviously go into the water and get undressed together and so on. They should go into a separate room. So, Rabbi Yehuda, the Gemara says there, Rabbi Yehuda's mater ba'aviv. Rabbi Yehuda says that it's permitted to go with your father. Why is that? Bepnei kavod aviv. Because of the honor of one's father. Rashi explains over there, the meaning of that is, kedei l'shamsho. What does he mean, kedei l'shamsho? To help him. One of the most beautiful things I once mentioned in shul is the way I lived in Farakka with is there was a rav there, Rabbi Katz, there's a small shtievel right off of Reed's Lane. It was a big Talmud Chacham, and he already is no longer in the world. But I remember that his son was already the sons, Talmid Chacham, older men themselves, that they would walk. It would be I would see them Shabbos morning going. And I would be in the mikveh Shabbos morning. They would walk with the father. It must have taken an hour and a half. The father was walking tiny steps, and he would walk with his father to the mikveh. And then in the mikveh, it was an hour to open the shoes and to take off the socks and then to hold them. Mamash, the brothers, the sons would take the father and the Mesiris Nefesh, and they would bring him into the water he wanted to go. And they would go with him into the mikveh and take him out and dry him. It was the whole thing must have taken 2.5 hours. Every Shabbos morning. Even more. It was unbelievable. So Rashi says over there that Rabbi Yehuda is matir. He explains that Rabbi Yehuda permits one to go with one's father to the merchatz, kedei l'shamsho, to take care of him, to bring him his towel, to take care of him, to help him, to walk him, so on. So it's permitted over there. And the point is very clear that when it's that it says that the heter is only with one's father because of kvod aviv, because of the honor of one's father. Nevertheless, we don't find there that the Gemara permits a son-in-law to go with his father-in-law. Why? It should say that one is allowed to go to the merchatz with his father-in-law. Why? Mipnei kvod chamav. Doesn't say that in order to be mishamish to take care of your father-in-law, you're allowed to go with them to the merchatz. In other words, the only heter is that they create aviv to honor one's father, so you're allowed to go with him and take him into the merchatz. But it doesn't say that you're allowed to take your father-in-law if they create chamav. Rabbi Yehuda is not mad to that. Whether there's the halach, not the halach is not important. The point is that it was the understanding of Chazal. It was a davar poshut. It was obvious to Chazal that the halachas that the guidelines that are determining the relationship from a son to a father are not the same as a son-in-law to a father-in-law. It's not a chi of gomer, not a chi of mamish. It can't be a chi of mamish, or else it would also be you're allowed to be mishamish to go to the merchatz with your father-in-law. Kedei l'shamish, it doesn't say. Yeah.
Couldn't you explain that by saying that whatever the reasons in the Gemara for not allowing you those various relationships to go with those various relationships, the power of l'shamish your father is stronger than whatever the reason is for not going with your father, but maybe isn't stronger.
Absolutely, that's exactly the pshat. And therefore we see, you're right, 100%. Therefore we see that even though there's a cheshbon not to go into the mikveh with the father, but because of the obligation of kibud av, which is so strong, it supersedes the whatever problem there is with going into the mikveh of tznius or whatever it might be. So we see therefore that the mitzvah of kibud av is very powerful, that it overrides the whatever cheshbon there is not to go into the mikveh. But it is not the same when it comes to one's father-in-law.
Right. And I meant the other way it would be, unless you say that the not going with your father is weaker, so that even though it's the same strength, it overrides.
No. If you look in the Gemara, it's not weaker. It's the same cheshbon, and it could be even stronger. It's not. But what we see from here is the power of the mitzvah of kibud av, of honoring one's father, that clearly is not in effect when it comes to honoring one's father, because then Rabbi Yehuda would have permitted you to take your father to the mikveh to help him out and walk with him. If there's a din of kvayt chamav, it should have said such a thing, but it doesn't. Now, the lashon of the Yalkut Shemayni is very interesting, and this is probably the last thing we'll be able to finish tonight. The Medrash in the Yalkut Shemayni, Shmuel Aleph. This is in Remez Kuflam at Gimel here in the Yalkut Shemayni, page 728. So the Yalkut brings the following. The Yichris is Knafa Mi'il. It brings the story of David HaMelech, and David HaMelech cuts off the corner of his father-in-law's robe. The Yichris is Knafa Mi'il. Vayachle David Isai. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. So it brings Rabbi Yehuda. Omer David, Ma Ben Ketet Tzitzisa, L'Keter Eisha. In other words, I could have just as easily, David HaMelech could have easily just as easily cut off his father-in-law's head, just as easily as he cut off the knaf of his garment. But Nechemya Omar Shabit Leim Mitzvah Sitzes Sha'achas. So Reb Nechemya says that by cutting off the knaf, the corner of the garment, that for a short time, David HaMelech has caused Shaul to be unable to observe the mitzvah of Sitzes, because he cut off one of the corners. Omar Leim David. That's not important. That's not what this is. What's important? Amalei David. David said, "V'avi re'ei gam re'ei." My father, see and look. So the Yalkut says, "Mikan shechayiv adam bekvoid chamav kechvoid aviv." Here he says a very strong lashon that from here we learn that one is obligated to honor one's father-in-law as he is obligated to honor one's father. Amr Rabbi Yehuda, V'avi re'ei, Amr l'Shaul. When he said, my father, see, he was speaking to Shaul. Means we see that a father is the father-in-law is the same thing. V'gam re'ei, and when it says, V'gam re'ei, Amr l'Avner. V'abodin disagree, V'abodin amr, V'avi re'ei, Amr l'Avner. Duhu aviv baraisiv, is his father in learning. V'gam re'ei, Amr l'Shaul. So the Yalkut Shemayni's lashon is so strong that it says such a powerful thing, that it equates, it seems, it says such a lashon that chayv bekvayd chamav kichvayd aviv, that you're obligated to honor your father-in-law as you are obligated to honor your father. So this would lechar, this seems to disagree with the Gemara. This seems to be soisa what we just learned. We just learned what? That honoring one's father-in-law is not a chiv gomer. It's not mamash a chiv, like honoring one's parent. As we see in the halachas, the shach brings down from the bach. And we see that we see from the Gemara Pesachim that it's not the same thing. So what is the meaning of the Yalkut Shemayni when the Yalkut Shemayni says kichvayd aviv, that you're obligated to honor your father as you would honor your father? So I think that's not really a kasha. That's not really a kasha. I think that's the pasha pshat in the Yalkut Shemayni. It's very, very simple. It's not telling you that the nature of the obligation is the same. It's telling you that the same way there's a din of covet by a parent, there is a halacha of covet by an in-law. It's not saying it's the same halachas. All it's saying is that the same way that there's the concept of covet, that there is this mitzias, this responsibility of honoring a parent, so too where do we see that there's such a mitzias as honoring a father-in-law? From the story of David Melch, who says Avi Re'ei, my father. It doesn't mean to say that the nature of the obligation is mamish the same. That can't be. It's not the same obligation. It's not the same halacha. We already saw that the Bach says and the Shach brings down that they should be honored as keachab and as a kainim achashuvim, like another older person, but in no special, unusual way. Now, what we just have 2 minutes to do is this is what's going to open up the entire subject. Now we just laid the groundwork. So far, until now, what we've learned. We learned that there's a halacha from the Gemara that tells us that there's something different in the responsibility of a daughter once she is married. She, in terms of honoring her parents, she is now tachas v'shus baila, she is now in her husband's domain. And therefore, to some degree, something has changed in her responsibility vis-a-vis her parents. Aleph. Beis. We learned that there's a din to honor one's in-laws, to honor a father-in-law and honor a mother-in-law. However, the Shach and the Bach explain that it's not the chiyuv mamish, it's not the same chiyuv as honoring one's parents. But we don't know exactly what that means. Then we wanted to learn what's the source of this din. Where does this come from, to honor a father-in-law, to honor a mother-in-law? And it comes from the machlokis Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, and how to understand the pasuk with David HaMelech when he says, Re'ei Avi Re'ei, my father. Is it talking about his father-in-law, or is it talking about Avner? But it's clear that it's not the same level of obligation. But we'll just end with 1 minute. There's a chiddush that's found here in the Pesach Tshuva, that begins to turn the subject in an entirely different direction. And then only next week will it become clear why we began with the question that we began with, about the case of a woman who was married to her father's younger brother, and there's a conflict between what her father wants and what her husband wants. The Pesach Tshuva is found in this, right over there on the same page, Sif Katan Chaf, in the Pesach Tshuva. He brings down this din of chamav to honor one's father-in-law, and he brings down the din chamayis, the same din when it comes to a mother-in-law, the first Pesach Tshuva makes it clear that it's not only to honor one's father-in-law, but it's the same halacha to honor one's mother-in-law. Now listen to this. Just let's do this sentence, and I'm going to leave it as a mystery, and then you'll think about it during the week, and we'll come back to Mitzvah next Wednesday. And he brings down the Bach and Kakos of Ashach. The Shema Bach, that what? That the nature of the obligation is to honor your father-in-law, your mother-in-law, like one, not mamish, like a parent, but like a zakenim, one of the zakenim, chshuvim, like a chashuv yid. The nearer the zem muchrich, he says, and the Pesach Tshuva says, and this can be proven. This lower level of obligation to honor one's father-in-law, one's mother, can be proven from where? He says, the nearer the zem muchrich, middle else if you'd zayin. It can be proven from the halacha, and that's why I learned that halacha before. It can be proven from Sif Yud Zayin. And what does it say, Sif Yud Zayin? She'isha nesua patura, that a married woman is exempt from honoring her parents. How does that prove that there's a lower level of obligation vis-a-vis one's in-laws than one's parents? So Pesach Tshuva says brilliantly, Dim loikein, haisa chayeves, because if one was obligated to honor one's father, one's mother-in-law, the same as a parent, then Haisa Chayeves, then she would be Chayev to honor her father and her mother against her husband's will. Why? Because if this mama shechiv deraisa to honor your father-in-law, to honor your mother-in-law, and then the husband is also obligated to listen to his father-in-law or his mother-in-law. So therefore, if his wife's father says, I want you to come here and pick me up at 3 o'clock, and the husband says, I want you to be by me at 3 o'clock, then what would we say to that? What would we say to the girl? To the listen to your father, you know why? Because your husband's also chayav to honor his father-in-law. So the Pesach Tshuva says, Shereihu chamav, it's a shver, it's his father-in-law. The Kamaibis, if you die, you die by Inshon. Therefore, the Pesach Tshuva says it's a davar poshut. It comes out as a davar poshut, that the nature of the obligation to honor one's father-in-law cannot be the same as honoring one's father. Because if that were the case, when we would have a conflict between the will of the husband and the will of the father-in-law, of course the husband would have to submit to his father-in-law. The same way that the girl has to honor her father, he has to honor his father-in-law, if it's the same din. The Pesach Tshuva says that we see from here that the Bach and the Shach are right on the button. They're 100% right. That what? That the responsibility to honor one's father-in-law is not the same din as honoring one's parent. Therefore, there's something different about this responsibility to honor his father-in-law, because therefore, as a result of that, we say that when there's a conflict, he wins. He wins. In other words, his will is more important than his father-in-law's will, which obviously means that he is not obligated midaraisa the same way to honor his father-in-law, in which case he wouldn't be allowed to disagree with his father-in-law. Now, there's another way to learn the Pesach Tshuva, and the Pesach Tshuva has to be learned at a much deeper level than we just learned it now. We just did it quickly. So, Mitzvah Shem, next week we're going to try to understand the Pesach Tshuva on a deeper level. And after we clarify the Pesach Tshuva, we're going to get to the very delicate subject, the very difficult subject, of what happens in situations when there are in-laws who are meddling into the lives of their children. And as a result of that, are causing disputes between a husband and wife. Ad kidei kach, that it could even lead, God forbid, to a divorce. What is the nature of honoring a parent in a situation where one of the children says, I can't take my father, I can't take my mother, they're mitzvahing, you know, my whole life, they're taking our life apart. So what? How does this affect, you know, how do we work out this conflict between the will of parents and the will of a husband or a wife? All of these shilas are going to come back to the sugi that we're oisikin. And this is the question: what happens in a case when there are parents who are meddling in the lives of their married children? What happens? Which, as you know, is a major cause of problems with shalom bayis. How does one guide oneself up yalocha under these circumstances? That it should be done properly, it should be with derech eretz, but yet to do the right thing. So that mitzvah we're going to talk about next week. Yashukar.